Kane, I can't see you. I'm sweating so much. I can't see the buttons or anything. Can you hear me?
It is hot today.
It is quite hot today.
No.
Okay, wait. Now I can see. I see you wearing your Speedo.
Trying to keep cool.
Yes. Yes, how's it going, man?
It's going well. Outside, I mean, I really enjoy the hot days, but geez, it's getting hot now. It's summer for real.
Especially our studio.
Yeah. No,
it's really hot here.
No, that's how, and it's the struggle, you know. You got to have a story to tell when you're older about how you fought through, you know, the oven studio, you know, made it through there.
Yeah, exactly. But yes, welcome to Tech Plus. It's time for another week. Another week's tech news where we round up everything for you and talk about all the biggest stories that you need to know. Kane, there's so much happening. Things are really getting going now with the year in full swing.
Yeah, things are kicking off with a bang for 2022. We have some massive trade deals and we have some updates coming to some local tech that you use every day. Obviously, we have a few hacks, you know. It's can't
yes.
start 2022 without losing some money. I mean, it wouldn't be the 20th century. And we have some news about space and as also Instagram. So I'm quite excited to get into it. And also, remember last year we spoke about Audi coming out with their EV vehicles
into
South Africa. And we spoke about how potentially concerning it is on how you're actually going to maintain a full charge, you know, if you were to buy one of these million rand plus vehicles. I think the lowest cost is about 1.8. And then the highest cost EV vehicle, I think, is about 2.7.
Sure.
You know, and paying that amount for a car, if you get stranded on the side of the road, you know, it's not an ideal place.
No.
So we're starting off today's show talking about just that. Audi and Grid Cars have teamed up to install SA's first 150 kilowatt ultra-fast EV chargers. And this is specifically in South Africa. And I think the one really cool thing about this that we're going to get into is it's not just for Audis. It's for all cars.
Okay.
So yes, to the betterment of, you know, EV infrastructure. So South Africa's electric car market might still be in its infancy, but Audi is pulling out all the stops to make a grand entrance this year. Not only is the German car maker launching 3 new e-tron models in the coming months, but it will also be the first to introduce the 150 kilowatt direct current ultra fast charging technology in South Africa. Audi South Africa has teamed up with Grid Cars to install 70 new EV public charging connectors at 33 locations around the country in order to expand on its existing public charging network for the benefit of not only Audi but also all electric car drivers. These publicly accessible charging stations will offer all EV consumers, regardless of vehicle ownership, the latest state-of-the-art charging technology available in South Africa. But the question is, how powerful is this ultra charging technology? So these ultra fast DC chargers allow for impressively quick recharging. For instance, an Audi e-tron 55, which has a 95 kilowatt battery, can charge up from 10% to 90% in around half an hour.
Wow.
I want a cell phone charger like that. You know, you don't even have cell phone chargers that
exactly.
are capable of doing that.
But why?
But the other thing, how long does it take for you to stop at a petrol station and fill up with petrol?
Yeah.
How many minutes?
That's a
you know,
good
we're talking
one.
Maybe even 45 seconds to maybe 2.5 minutes maximum to fill your tank. And now you're gonna. Can you imagine waiting at the petrol station? You're on the 25th minute. You know, you've passed the whole TikTok feed already.
Yeah,
you know?
But some petrol stations take that long, eh? To see your car, especially if you drive a small
Absolutely.
Car.
Absolutely.
And say, sorry, we didn't see you in the driveway.
So here's something interesting. So Audi is planning to install 4 of these 150 kilowatt ultra fast charging stations along major highway routes such as the N1, N2, N3 and N4. But it also includes some 80 kilowatt fast charging stations, which will allow, you know, you to charge up for about 185 kilometers worth of range in about 30 minutes. But this isn't just, you know, the process of creating the infrastructure around petrol stations so you can refuel. I think the biggest differentiating factor between filling up your car with petrol and filling up your car with a full battery charge in today is the ability to actually charge your car at home.
Mm.
You can't fill your car with petrol at home.
Yeah.
You know, and there will be some provisions. So Audi will be installing 24, 22 kilowatt AC stations at various public lifestyle places, but they'll also be enabling people to have a 32 amp industrial socket up to the value of 5,000 rand installed for free in their home for them to charge their car up at home, which I think is really, it's really cool, actually, you know. And we're actually going to speak about something that allows you to actually fill your car up with petrol from home as one of our next stories. Can you imagine that? So now you can fill up in an EV or a petrol car. But only in South Africa was some businessman out of Gauteng who's developed a new app. And we're going to get into that. But here's the official prices of Audi's e-tron vehicles that are coming this year.
Get ready for big prices.
The e-tron SUV is priced at 1.9 million.
Mm-hmm.
The e-tron Sportsback is priced at 2.1 million. And the e-tron GT Saloon is priced at about 2.7 million with some speaks about a potential RS variant, so your sports variant, which I can imagine is probably going to climb over the 3 million rand range, but we don't have an official price for that. And traditionally, cars usually have about a 5-year, 100,000 kilometer highway plan that comes with the car, but these vehicles will be sold with a battery warranty that's valid for 8 years or 160,000 kilometers and a 5-year, 100,000 kilometer freeway plan. So you're getting money out. You're getting money out, but I'm very excited to see these electric vehicles in South Africa.
Yeah.
Just know when you see an Audi electric vehicle, you know, maybe it's the RS variant, he's driving around a 3 million rand car.
Yeah, exactly. Know? He sold his house. He's now living in his car.
No, you're gonna be walking across the street. You're almost going to get hit by a car because you can't hear it. And
exactly.
Then you're going to realize you almost got rode over by a 3 million rand car.
Yes.
And you're going to be able to be like, wow.
But imagine that's his car and then he had to sell his house and now he lives in a hut or something.
He lives in the car.
Or in the car.
He's got USB fast charging in the car.
Wow, that's fantastic, hey? I'm looking forward to that, actually.
I am.
But I know that those cars are very, very... they're not noisy.
No.
You can't hear them coming, so that's why some of them play sounds.
I always
have fake cars or what. You can pick your
sound. We spoke about it last year, and I think it's going to be the funniest trait of EV vehicles is people that customize the sound of their car.
Like, you could have a tractor noise.
You could have a tractor, you could have the sound of a bicycle with a piece of tin on the spokes, you know. And that would be
or
hilarious.
A truck.
Yeah.
Or this small car, and it sounds like a truck.
No, the future is hilarious. You know?
That is quite funny.
It's hilarious. So do you want to hear about this this Gauteng businessman that's developed a new app?
Yes.
So this is quite exciting, straight out of South Africa. SA businessman launches an app that allows you to buy petrol from home. You can order sushi and wine, pay your clothing accounts, and even send flowers to friends in other provinces, all from the comfort of your couch. Online shopping has a massive convenience, but we've never been able to order petrol from home. So thanks to the brilliance of this local businessman, Lubabalu,
what?
You can now buy petrol without even having to get in your car. It was launched in October last year. And they partnered up with Caltex, BP, and Engen. So users can buy petrol, diesel, engine oil, and brake fluid, or even coolant and chain lubes online. For now, mostly Gauteng users can buy fuel online, but developers are working on expanding into other provinces. So Gauteng residents can search for their closest filling station, add in the type and quantity of the fuel they need, input their car details for payment, and the fuel will be delivered to your door. There's also an option for self-pickup. And I think this speaks volumes to what potentially could be the future of technology. You know, not just the fact that you can now order petrol from home. I think that is cool and it'll have its usability, but actually people creating apps that make life easier in places you never would have considered.
That's what it's all about, convenience.
It's all about that. Mm-hmm. And it has about 40 outlets in Johannesburg, but they say the uptake from petrol stations has been relatively slow as most are owned by older families who are used to a more traditional way of selling. So I think when they are kind of trying to convert petrol stations, they actually have to give them the whole online is the future. You know, you've got to invest in the future of e-commerce. By being able to have people buy petrol from your petrol station from home is going to increase your customer base, allow you to reach more people, potentially earn more money, you know. And I think that's a really positive thing to see. But I'm excited for the future of these kind of apps and entrepreneurs taking the initiative to do things that you wouldn't necessarily have wanted before. I've never thought of, yo, I wish I could order petrol. I think it's even a little bit confusing. Like, what, do they come with, like, a jerry can?
Yeah, probably a jerry can, yeah.
But what happens if you order, like, 100 litres? Do they come with 520-litre jerry cans?
This huge JoJo tank.
Just a whole JoJo, you know, just a whole JoJo tank across the highway. Like, what could it be for? But, yeah, I'm very excited for that. And I'm looking forward to seeing this further develop and seeing if it actually maintains. They said any petrol station can sign up on the app for free. But I hope there's some sort of commission deal there, because maintaining an app like that is difficult. But only time will tell.
Very interesting, Kane. Did you see that cryptocurrency exchange Luno believes regulation for the digital asset space is imminent in South Africa? They reckon it's going to happen soon, likely by the end of this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you in 2016 you were talking about a multi-billion dollar industry. 2020, you're talking about, you know, in the hundreds of billions. And now 2022, you're talking about a multi-trillion dollar industry. There's definitely going to attract regulators. And rightly so. Rightly so. There needs to be regulation. And it's something that I said even at the beginning, you know, when I started getting into crypto. The reality is either we regulate ourselves or someone steps in and regulates us. And unfortunately for us, there are people within the world that have malicious intent and leverage this technology for miscellaneous means that could influence our day-to-day lives, or it could influence someone else's day-to-day life in a negative way. So the regulation is important. Obviously, people are making millions and billions off of crypto. No doubt about it. I mean, one guy just sold 5,000 selfies for $1 million as an NFT.
What?
He just made $1 million selling 5,000 of his selfies. That's just one example.
Why would you sell 5,000 of your selfies?
It's digital art. I mean, it's new, it's creative, it's exciting. It's like the evolution of painting. You know, when artists started painting, I mean, it's really up to your creative
freedom. But those selfies must be bloody awesome.
Well, 5,000 selfies. How many awesome selfies can you take and make sure there's 5,000? I don't even have one good angle on myself. Exactly. I don't know how this guy would have put 5,000.
Yo.
But he did. And there's also been other initiatives. I mean, I think an Instagram model recently released some NFTs. No prior marketing, no back. Nothing like that. Released it, made a couple $1 million. So people are making money, and where people make money, there's regulation and there's tax, and that stuff needs to happen. But speaking of regulation, did you know one of Luno's competitors, and I wouldn't necessarily call it a competitor because they're not directly competing in South Africa, but definitely one of the related Luno type businesses called Crypto.com. Most people have probably seen it. They recently sponsored some stuff in the Super Bowl. They recently sponsored some UFC fighters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all that sort of stuff. Their CEO just confirmed hundreds of accounts were hacked. CEO Chris Moselak and his team were criticized for vague communication around the hack. The CEO of the cryptocurrency exchange Crypto.com has finally confirmed that hundreds of user accounts were indeed compromised by hackers and had funds stolen as a result, though details of the exact method of the breach remain unclear. And what I'm going to get into now is why sometimes regulation is important. So obviously Crypto.com was hacked. People's accounts lost money. Now, They made a few mistakes. The first mistake was actually announcing a tweet that said no customer funds were lost. The downtime of the withdrawal was 14 hours and our team has hardened the infrastructure. That being said, funds were lost. And they might even have to back those funds up out of their own pocket because it is their technology, their security that was breached. But that being said, 400 customer accounts had been compromised. And previous statements and other communications from Crypto.com have been criticized for their vague and unclear messaging. Realistically, about $15 million worth of Ethereum was stolen and was sent to somewhere called Tornado Cash, which washes cryptocurrencies. And it's kind of known as a mixer that can hide the final destination of Ethereum being sent to it. So what happens is you steal money, you send it to a washing machine, quote unquote, it's not really, it's not going to clean your money, but it mixes it and hides it and makes it disappear, and now you've successfully stolen and hidden money. And for that kind of stuff, regulation is important. Crypto.com has said they have not been approached by a regulator as of yet, but they will keep the community informed as to what's happening. But just out of South Africa last year, AfriCrypt, billions stolen. Billions. Sure. Not millions, billions.
Billions, yeah.
And that's what calls for regulation in the space. It's to avoid that. To set a standard of security and a standard for startup projects that have the opportunity to steal and have the opportunity to what we call in the crypto space rug pull, and basically put rules and regulations in place to try and stop it from happening.
So regulation is good.
Depends what the regulation is for. If it's to make the government more money, no. If it's to protect the consumer, yes. That's just my opinion on it.
I like that. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're back with Tech Plus. That was Nina Nesbitt and Summer Fling. Summer indeed. Kane, how's it going?
Summer indeed. Well? That winter looks attractive this time of year.
It does. I saw a video on Facebook this morning of somebody making a fire and it's snowing outside. And I was like, hey, want to trade places? Wouldn't mind trading places, actually.
I always say it, in winter I wish it was hot, and in summer I wish it was winter, but I'm happy with summer.
Yeah.
Like, winter's worse. Let's be, being arguable about it.
I mean, like winter more because you have more temperature control.
Yeah.
You can wrap up nicely in a blanket. In summer, there's not much you can do.
Yeah.
You can swim, but then when you come out, it's hot again.
I find in summer, the best thing that you can do in this kind of weather is just embrace it. My friends always think I'm crazy because I'll wait until the hottest time of day. I say, okay, I'm going for a jog now.
Yeah, because you're going to go for a jog after the show today.
Yeah.
You're so crazy. You know
I will.
That.
It's the best feeling, really, because when you're trying to do normal things and you're hot, you're uncomfortable.
Mm.
But when you do something that you get hot anyway, you're not actually uncomfortable. When you're jogging and it's hot, it's not actually uncomfortable.
But there must be a breeze.
No, usually there's not.
If there's no breeze, then it's torture.
But you do perspire.
Yeah.
Perspire. So
yeah.
You cool yourself down. So it actually, for that reason,
but it's not as if there's a breeze blowing over your sweat.
But the other day I jogged with a shirt and a little bit of it was open and I have a red line on my shoulder. Like someone inked me.
Oh.
Okay. Do you want to hear what our next most interesting information is? Check it this. So here's a very, very cool story. So Microsoft Gaming. This is something I think I've spoken about once or twice. Microsoft is obviously the manufacturer and producer for Xboxes. And they also have what's called an Xbox app on the PC, which is like a gaming app. You install it and any game that you buy through there can also be played on your Xbox, which is great functionality. The problem for me is there's no, like, if you compare the Xbox app on PC to something like the Steam app or the Epic Games app, these apps are actually very, very usable. They got functionality there that you want, like being able to move one game from one hard drive to another. And you might say, well, what the heck is the use of moving one game from one hard drive to the other, or taking one game from one computer and giving it to the other person, right? That isn't really possible with the Xbox app, but why would you want it if you were in South Africa and a game is about 150 gigs? Now you have to transfer that game from one hard drive to your friend's hard drive to avoid buying another 150 gigs worth of data. Not everybody has uncapped internet and all that sort of stuff. So it makes it very, very tricky. So Microsoft, obviously, with this app, is kind of putting their foot in the door of the gaming industry, right? That's what they're doing. They're putting their foot in the door for the gaming industry, and they've just made the biggest move in history. Microsoft Gaming has just bought Activision Blizzard, and it's an all-in cash deal valued at about $68 billion. They just bought Activision, the game developer for Call of Duties, and any game that you've ever gone into that starts with Activision is now going to be owned by Microsoft. And it is all about their injection into the gaming industry and virtual future. So basically, 2022 is going to hit different. We can't say we saw it coming, but Microsoft Gaming bought Activision Blizzard and is kind of all in on the deal. Some people question, is it legal? There's some interesting language when it comes to the announcement. Company CEO Phil Spencer said in his post, until this transaction closes, Activision Blizzard and the Microsoft Gaming companies will continue to operate independently. Once the deal is complete, the business will report to him as the official CEO for Microsoft Gaming, and it will have Activision basically as a parent company, which signals some serious changes at Activision. I don't know if you remembered, but Activision was in a lot of pressure last year. They had sexual harassment allegations.
Dang.
They let go about 30 employees and gave rude warnings to about 40 of them. So Microsoft obviously seized the opportunity and said, we want to make a deal. We want to buy you out. And that deal is now going through for $68 billion, which is about R1 trillion.
Sure.
Once you convert it. R1 trillion.
Yo, that's a lot.
And this means that gaming, games such as Call of Duty, Overwatch, Diablo, Tony Hawk are all set to become Microsoft games.
Mm.
But we know who's Microsoft competing with in the console industry. Sony.
Yeah.
Okay. And traditionally, Sony's been quite sneaky with the games they produce because they've made it only for PlayStation, such as the Insomniac Spider-Man and Infamous and some of these games. They were only produced for the PlayStation console so that people would have to buy a PlayStation console in order to play this game. It was actually one of the main reasons why I ended up buying a PlayStation.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to play one of the new Spider-Mans. So does this mean Microsoft is going to exclusively release these Activision games on Xbox only?
Mm-hmm.
It could devastate Sony.
They're probably going to do that, actually.
It could, but if they don't, here's the interesting thing. They're going to end up making millions of dollars from Sony because they will be basically accommodating their platform when they're developing the next release. So Microsoft might have set up a way to maintain monopoly or set up a way to make money from their competitors. Either way, very clever move. Lots of money at stake.
Lots.
2022 heating up. Gaming is... I mean, you don't spend $68 billion on something you don't think is coming in the future. And with cryptocurrency, NFTs, GameFi, DeFi, those are all different types of industries kind of within crypto. Once you understand those applications within gaming, you start to understand that gaming is going to actually become a lucrative industry where your 11-year-old child can earn potentially more money than you in your employed position by gaming and not taking part in tournaments, but actually playing the game, collecting items, selling those items, almost like a retail industry for gaming.
Sure.
Where you can trade and convert and actually spend money. A lot of people made real money off Steam's Counter-Strike, selling in-game skins and things like that. And 10 years ago, even 20 years ago, you would never have expected to be able to make money playing video games and outside of esports tournaments. So not being a professional athlete in gaming, but actually just playing the game and having a 1% chance to get an item while you're playing the game, getting that item and selling it for a couple $1,000s. Unheard of. But obviously Microsoft sees some application in that industry, and that's why they've made such a big move. That being said, Microsoft Xbox app is the worst app I have used on the PC for gaming. And
really?
This person just bought Activision. So what's going to happen? I don't know, but I hope they get better.
Why would you say it's the worst? Is it not user-friendly?
Well, it was like what I said earlier. You want to be able to move games around your computers. You want to be able to take a game that you downloaded and give it to your friend. He will buy the game. Normally, you're not pirating the game. You're just giving him the game files, that 150, 200 gig download that would have had to happen. But with Microsoft, you can't do that.
Okay.
Inside of Microsoft, they actually create a game folder, you know, where it would install the games on your computer. They create a game folder within your Windows apps folder that you don't have permission to access.
You can't open it.
You can't move things around in there. You don't have permission. You can give yourself permission, but even when games are installing in themselves, they hide away and it's unuser-friendly. So people who like modding the games or adding DLCs and things like that have a lot of trouble doing it on the Microsoft app. The only benefit of the Microsoft app is games you have on the Microsoft app you can play on your Xbox as well. So you save, you know, half the money you would have had to if you would have bought both games on both platforms. So that's very interesting. What a big piece of news. Very exciting to see what happens with that. Probably the biggest thing happening in gaming and tech right now in the tech space.
Did you know that you get human pylons? They look like humans, but they carry electricity. That's in Iceland. I'm going to show you a picture.
Oh, wow.
It's much prettier than the ones we've got here in South Africa.
What do? They just
actually looks a bit freaky. It's just almost like art.
Oh, so it's like telephone poles.
Yeah. That's electricity.
Well, it transports the cables.
Yes.
So where you would have a telephone cable, they have like this beautiful, like structurally sound, like person made of wire that holds it up.
Exactly.
They obviously ran out of new things to make in their country. Like, why would that be like, oh no, we don't like telephone poles, let's make these things that cost a shit ton of money.
Yeah, but it still looks much better than the actual thing.
No, very interesting. Did you know China just sent their first classified satellite into space for 2022? Yeah, another classified classified satellite. So what does that really mean? Well, China executed its first launch of 2022 with a classified mission, the Cyan 13 test satellite. The Long March 2D rocket carrying Cyan 13 launched from the China National Space Administration on the 17th of January. The satellite was sent successfully into predetermined orbit, and the statement added that given the low temperatures of minus 37 degrees Celsius at the launch site, the team added a special product sealing kind of product onto the rockets to assure a safe launch. But the Experiment number 13 satellite is mainly used to carry out space environment detection and related technology experiments. More than 40 space launch missions for 2022 were performed by China. Has plans for 40 space launch missions in 2022, and China performed a record-breaking 55 launches in 2021. I mean, if each country is releasing 55 satellites into orbit every single year, you have, you know, 130 countries, can you imagine how many satellites there might be one day? So that's another cause for concern. But I think it's particularly, you know, I'm particularly curious about why launch a satellite into space that is super classified and then deem that it collects environmental information. Is the environmental information going to be used for monetary gain? How do they intend to use that information? What other information is it capturing that's so classified? You know, why is this classified satellite being launched? Who knows? But it happened, and it's in space right now, and it might just be watching you.
Jeez.
Just jokes, but...
There's a lot of things that watching us.
You never know.
Like right now, our phone's listening to us.
Yeah, phones listen. Even, you know, even just artificial intelligence in general is moving. I watched a story yesterday that was very interesting. I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but a computer program that plays chess beat the old record holder for chess, another computer software. So it took them a few years to develop this piece of software, the initial piece of software that beat the best chess player in the world. And then another piece of software was developed that beat that software in a chess match. Okay? But here's the catch. Here's the catch. This teaches you the power of artificial intelligence. That initial software that was developed to beat the world's leading chess player, that took years to develop, and it took a large team. This software that beat the last software champion was built with AI. So it started playing chess with absolutely nothing. No knowledge, no information about how chess works, but it was an artificial intelligence piece of software that basically learned how to play chess. And it took it 4 hours to beat the number one piece of software that beat the world champion at chess. The program ran for 4 hours, learned how to play chess, and beat the previous world champion piece of software.
Yo. That's so cool.
How crazy is that?
It is crazy. But Kane, did you know there's a leak in Apple? The Apple is leaking.
I don't know what that says. Ian was passing me a note, but it's not legible. What does that even say?
Oh my word, Kane. It reminds me of when we were in school and we had to pass these notes around and then the teacher would confiscate it. But that was before texting. No, I was handing you a producer's note, but you can't read it. Oh my word. Can you read it?
Yes. I got what you said.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, interesting. But it appears to be fine now. The producer's note. But there appears to be a vulnerability in Safari 15. It's been discovered, exploiting users' internet activity and even revealing their identity.
The Apple internet browser.
Yeah.
For those who don't
know. Can you believe this, hey?
That's crazy.
According to the security research and browsing fingerprinting provider, the flaw relates to Safari 15's implementation of the IndexedDB, a web application programming interface. Essentially, the names of all IndexedDB databases are available to any site, and these can be used to extract identifying information. Websites such as YouTube and Google Calendar create databases that include the authenticated Google user ID. So in the scenario where, or scenario where a user is logged into multiple accounts, a database is created for each, but a malicious site could scrape your Google user ID from these databases and use it to find out other personal information about you. So it looks like that's happened, but I'm sure there would be another one. All current versions of Safari for Mac and iOS can be exploited. They reported the vulnerability to Apple in November, but it's yet to be resolved. So that's still ongoing.
Yeah, there's no upgrade or something you can do. Scraped from that. That is terribly concerning. I mean, things like that happen, and it's happened to Chrome, and it's happened to Firefox, and now it's happening to Safari. And this is what makes our technology more secure. It's these kind of breaches and informational breaches. But realistically, it's your own private information at risk. It could be potentially passwords. It could be personal identifying information. It could be your email address. And these kind of information, you would think, you know, well, I don't do that much on Google. So how much information could possibly be stolen, right? Well, just to give you a brief example, if you were able to scrape someone's age and date of birth, and you were able to scrape someone's email address and full name, you could send a fake email from Facebook or fake email from one identifier within that database that says this person uses this app and this is some personal information about them. They can then send you an email, a phishing email, that basically says, gives you a bit of information about yourself. It says, you with this information, you need to reset your account. Follow this link to completely reset your account. And then you follow the link and you enter in your password that you would normally put in for Facebook, and now they have your Facebook password, and there you've been hacked.
Sure.
So this kind of information being leaked can be dangerous, and it's actually used against you for you to make a mistake to actually be hacked. So be aware, you know, of those SMSs that you receive and those, you know, those like I just got an SMS now. I don't have an account with Vodacom, and I literally, while we're on the show right now, I get an SMS. Kane, your Vodacom statement has been generated on this secure link. Here's the link. Go have a look. I'm not going to click that link.
No.
No. But that's obviously another version of a phishing scam. So they could have got my mobile number information and just did that.
You see your granny, for example.
We'll click the link.
Any granny will click on it because she wants to pay the account now.
Yeah.
And then they steal your everything about from your granny, all
yeah,
the details,
even if you don't
and then
have
they come
an account,
steal her as well.
But even if you don't have an account, you think, oh, what, my Vodacom statement? Who signed up for me on Vodacom? And then you click the link.
But Kane, I got an SMS like that as well. What happened is it was a Cell C something, but they don't say my name. They just say your Cell C account is overdue and it's going to be handed over, and the sheriff's on your stoop and all that kind of stuff. I don't have a Cell C account. No. I had Cell C on prepaid in primary school, for God's sakes.
You can get in so much trouble for sending those kind of emails now because the puppy.
Yeah, they're not allowed to send me those messages.
No.
I saw my reply with some really bad words, hey? I wonder sometimes if they get it, because it's this long number that's sending it.
Yeah,
but I'm just, I don't think they'll see it.
They don't get
but
it.
But it makes me feel better.
No, you gotta just release, you gotta vent.
Exactly.
A little bit, you know?
Yeah, but I saw them do it in Cape Town style, you know?
Here's some more positive news. So I have basically three things still to go over, and one of them I think is very interesting. So Instagram is testing something new for its creators, and what it is testing is basically paid subscriptions that you can pay to a creator, or in your case, someone who's on Instagram, an Instagram influencer, and you can be subscribed to an exclusive amount of their content. And let's find out a little bit more about it. So US Instagram users will soon be able to subscribe to a small number of creators and influencers to access exclusive content and features. In a blog post, the company says it's launching a test of subscriptions today, with more creators being added in the coming weeks. 10 creators are part of the early test, including basketball player Sedona Prince, Olympian Jordan Chiles, and astrologer Aliza Kelly. Fans will pay a monthly fee to access subscriber-only content from creators they follow. like exclusive lives and stories, and subscribers will also get a purple badge by their name that signals their status to the creator. Price tiers for the subscription are up to the creator and can range from $1 to $99 per month, and creators can select their price point for their subscribers. Co-head of products Ashley Yuki told TechCrunch that Instagram will not take a cut of the creator subscription revenues until at least 2023. So enjoy those full subscription revenues for you. If you have, let's say, 1 million people who watch your content and you can aggregate 10,000 of them to subscribe to you for exclusive content at $1 per user, you can make $10,000. And if you can get them to do it at $99 per user, then you can make $100,000 from 10,000 subscribing subscribing users.
Okay, I'm considering a career change.
No, that's like good money, you know.
Yeah, somebody said, yeah, it sounds like OnlyFans Light. That was Susan.
Yeah, I definitely think they want to get a cut of that, because even now, there have been people that have used, because you know you can set stories and things like that to a friends only. You can send your story to only a group of friends that you declare. So some content creators on Instagram were doing this already through, you know, kind of MacGyver means, that they would have a subscription-based service that basically got you in their friends-only stories, and you could see all those stories. So Instagram had a choice to make. Do they allow this thing to happen, or do they provide the functionality for it? And they opted to provide the functionality for it, but only 10 creators have been started. There will be more coming soon, but this looks like it's, for at least the time being, a US-only service, a US-only beta, and it might come to South Africa sometime soon. The YouTube Red subscription service took about 2 years to come to South Africa, so that's a good benchmark. 2 years, and you should be able to, as an influencer on Instagram, you might be able to offer a subscription-based service, or even find yourself subscribing to one of your favorite content creators' private content. Now, that being said, it's a subscription service, so you can probably opt out at any time, so it puts pressure on the creators to make sure that the content they're creating is above and beyond more interesting than what they already create and share exclusively. I can see a lot of application for it in people in crypto, because being able to tell someone about a very high value potential investment into an altcoin or some sort of cryptocurrency could be very valuable, and I'd find myself paying a subscription to access that information if they're doing the hard work for me. But even like they said, you know, you got exclusive celebrities. I'm sure people would want to see celebrities' exclusive stories. That's always a win, you know. That's what publicity is all about in the celeb world. And then someone like an astrologer, how interesting to see her content, exclusive content, be able to pick her mind, maybe have live stream interactions with them. So I'm excited to see this come to light, and I'm very happy to hear that they are not taking any cuts of that revenue from the creators. For now. 2023, yeah. You best believe you're sharing. But for now, you get to be selfish and keep all the money for yourself that you earn off the backs of your audience.
Almost like it used to be at the beginning,
yeah,
with YouTube.
Yeah.
The good old YouTube days when everybody could get famous.
Instagram has basically become Patreon now. To a degree, with that kind of functionality, it's similar to Patreon, which is very interesting. And then for all of our real life tech enthusiasts out there, such as myself, NASA has just released something very interesting.
Oh yes, you mentioned it to me earlier, and you are very excited about
this. This is something I'm honestly very excited about. I will be taking part in this.
Yes.
NASA wants your ideas to reuse trash and waste on a Mars mission. This isn't a publicity stunt, this is very real, and they're very open to these ideas. So you have until March 15th, 2022, to submit your Red Planet innovations. NASA just opened a challenge seeking ways to go to Mars and back with minimum wasted materials. So the agency's Tournament Lab, along with crowdsourcing platform HeroX, have launched a waste-to-base challenge, looking for ideas to recycle trash, waste, carbon dioxide and foam packaging materials during a 2 to 3 year crewed Red Planet mission. Competitors have until March 15th to enter the challenge, and several prizes of up to $1,000 each will be awarded for novel ideas out of a total purse of $24,000. The winner should be announced by April 22nd, according to the challenge website. This challenge is all about finding ways to convert waste into base materials and other useful things like propellant or feedstock or 3D feedstock for 3D printing. The challenge is looking for your ideas for how to convert different waste material streams into propellant and into other useful materials that can be made into needed things and cycled through multiple times. While a perfectly efficient cycle is unlikely, ideal solutions will result in little to no waste. So this is a really fun little thing for tech enthusiasts to take part in. Let your creativity reign free. Try and come
up with some ideas. What about just say the deadline again?
March 15th.
So you got 2 months.
Yeah. And you're basically creating, you know, renewable waste measures.
Have you already got something in mind to submit?
I've got some stuff in mind. I've jotted down a few ideas, you know, taking into consideration current innovative projects such as carbon capture methods and that sort of stuff. But only time will tell, and the competition will tell who will truly, you know, come up with the best idea. But generally speaking, these ideas are expected to be put in a white paper as part of the roadmap for future technology development work for NASA's Logistics Reduction Project, which is working on matters such as new spacecraft and future settlements, which the challenge description noted. While NASA hasn't yet set a firm timeline for putting humans on Mars, the agency speculated in recent years that it may be able to get there by the mid-2030s. In the shorter term, the agency is hoping to put Artemis astronauts on the moon by the mid-2020s, and moon missions may help inform the design for future Mars missions. So yeah, definitely worth taking a look at that if you're a young designer or inventor. Yeah, definitely worth submitting your things, you know, because even on a CV 5, 6, 10 years down the line, you might be the person who created the best use of renewable waste to space, and you're actually NASA's using your
idea. You're going to be famous.
Yeah. Try and go get a job at Tesla, having something in your CV that says you created the waste.
Elon's going to like that,
for NASA, you know. So that's a brilliant thing to do. Definitely worth looking at. And then the last thing that we're going to go over here is WhatsApp has come out with a new update. And it's funny because it's funny. Every time WhatsApp announces something that they're updating to their app, it's always there already on these competitor instant messaging platforms. So WhatsApp now will allow users to react to messages with emojis.
What?
Yeah.
When?
Which Signal also allows you to do.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Signal allows you to react to something with just one
emoji.
Like on Facebook, with one emoticon or one emoji. And now WhatsApp is kind of doing the same thing and labeling it as a new update.
Because it's a Facebook or a Metaverse.
A Metaverse product thing, yeah. So the instant messaging app, which is owned and operated by Meta, will allow iOS users to react to messages with an emoji to express emotion in a similar vein to its sister app, Facebook. And although this feature is not available quite yet, the ability to manage notifications for reactions is. WhatsApp insiders WA Beta Info said, "You are now able to manage when you should receive notifications for reactions for individual chats and groups, and which notification tone to play when you receive these notifications." The statement also went on to detail that while the reaction feature itself is not available just yet, it assured users of the end-to-end encryption messaging service that it will come about very soon. It continued, "Unfortunately, it's still not possible to react to messages, but the fact that it's possible to manage these settings suggests these message reactions will be coming soon and should be trialed in the beta format and only rolled out to Apple users on iPhones and iPads." So if you do have an iPhone, you can enroll for this beta update and be one of the first people to actually use this feature. And it's definitely possible to do. All you have to do is you have to open up your WhatsApp on your iOS device, tap the three dots, and then head over to More Options, hit Link Devices, then hit Multi-Device Beta, and then Join Beta. to receive the update as soon as it's become available.
But do it now before that beta program becomes full.
Yeah.
Then they don't accept anymore.
Yeah, once they've filled up all these positions, then you can't access it anymore.
I can't wait to have reactions on WhatsApp. It's going to help a lot, you know.
Yeah, you know, for quick responses.
Instead of replying with stickers and stuff.
I already do it. I go and I just add an emoji and it becomes as a big emoji. So it's
yes,
like, almost like it's almost, there already.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a slight change.
Just thanks, Kane. Just lastly, Google Chrome's got a problem at the moment. So if you can, try to delay upgrading to the latest Chrome, even though that's not always safe to do. But I know it's an automatic upgrade, but try and, I don't know, if it's possible.
Keep your internet disconnected.
Yeah, just try and hold off a bit, because apparently a recent update to the Chromium code base has removed the option to delete pre-populated search engines in the latest versions of the Chrome and Edge browser. So anyway, what it means, there's a Reddit thread on it right now, and people, they can't change to Google their default search engine. So they open up Chrome and Yahoo is the default search engine. And then you can't, so you have to manually, every single time, you have to manually type in google.com or whatever.
There's nothing I hate Yahoo more than trying to find something on Bing.
No, I don't even use it.
I've never.
apparently, it opens Bing, like you mentioned, Yahoo, DuckDuckGo.
Oh, DuckDuckGo, yeah.
I didn't even know about DuckDuckGo. What is DuckDuckGo? And then Ecosia.
Yeah, these are all search engines.
So you can't delete it at the moment. That's a bit of a problem. I don't want to use those search engines. Eh?
No. When I was doing a lot of marketing in the Google Ads space, you know, doing Google Ads, or when you search something on Google and an ad pops up, we decided to trial Bing as well. And Bing had such little search volume. I mean, the amount of people that probably use Bing are marginal.
You still get MySpace results on
that. Unsubscribe from that. They didn't catch that.
Is MySpace still going?
I've never had an account on MySpace, to be honest with you.
No, it was before our time, man.
Yeah.
But I wonder if the actual database is still there. I know that if you have a BlackBerry right now, I don't personally know somebody with a BlackBerry, but if you have one right now, you're in trouble, because they stopped all support now for the operating system. So at one stage, your phone's just going to be like, I can't live anymore in 2022, and your phone's just going to bail.
Yeah, so MySpace no longer go. There's nothing there.
Really?
It's access to MySpace.com was denied.
Did you check it now?
I can't access
Thanks
it
for solving that mystery, Kane.
That's sad, you know, these things die, people don't even notice.
Yeah, you know? I didn't even notice.
Sitting there on the side of the road, like, dehydrating, and, like, everyone's just like, God, who cares about MySpace?
Yeah.
I don't even know what I would have used MySpace for.
Apparently, you could have, like, it was cool for teenage bands to put their music up there and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, if you had a garage band, you would put your music on there.
On MySpace.
On MySpace,
not your space, on MySpace.
No, MySpace. Yo, but anyway, it's time for us to leave this scorching hot studio.
Yeah.
Did you notice all the steam coming out of the equipment?
They can actually, you know, where we're recording, because there's just plumes of flippin' smoke.
Yes.
In the window.
And also, did you notice all the smoke coming out of my ears?
Cooking, we're going to be fried bacon.
Yes, like it. So you're going for your jog now, hopefully a swim after that. Just jump into the lagoon or something.
Probably the lagoon, if anything. I mean, pools are hard to find. Yeah, nice sometimes.
Yes. Just go for a Skellum swim, man.
Imagine that. You have a house on Leisure Island or something, and you come out and there's Kane bathing in your swimming pool.
Like, hey, dude. I like your show. I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I'd be out of there if someone said that. Oh, I like this show. There's a V-shaped hole in the water where I jumped out.
Oh, Kane, it was fun as always. Thank you so much. And we'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Thanks to all our listeners for listening in. And we'll see you next week for another awesome tech show.
Cheers, man.
Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.